Warning. You've reached On the Box with Ray Comfort and are now in a biblical truth zone. Place all questions about theology, current events, and evangelism on the box, where they'll be weighed against the truth of God's Word. Ready your hearts and minds. You're about to be inspired and equipped to fulfill the Great Commission. Programming to engage in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
We're honored that you're joining us once again for On the Box to hear the wisdom of Tony Miano.
And that's all I have to say about that.
You had a good fourth?
I did. Michelle and Peter, friends from church, and I, we went out to the local 4th of July parade in town, and we went through 3,800 tracks.
You did?
Yes, sir.
That is a lot.
I mean,
what,
a lot.
If I give out 500, I want to tell someone, because that's a lot of tracks. Even 100 is a lot.
Yeah.
So how did you give out?
3,800.
That is amazing. But that wasn't all to one lady, was it?
No.
They're different people.
No, it was. Here you go. Happy Fourth. Took my little PA with me, so I didn't have to strain my voice over the sound of the parade. But we just followed along the parade, and I think a lot of people thought that we were part of the parade, handing out the
4th
of July million-dollar bill. And so hopefully, though, a lot of those people will read it, and some of them will come to repentance and faith.
Amen.
And then we went to the Dodger game last night. That's a annual tradition for us on the 4th of July. That's where we go to see the fireworks. And I gave out a few more tracks in the stadium, too.
Wow.
That was a good thing. How about you? What'd you do?
Well, as I lay in bed last night and listened to the explosion and watched all the lights, I thought, in this economy, so many of our neighbors have got money to burn. All it is taking money. And if I had financial difficulties, I'd take the kids outside and hit a hammer on the ground and say, hear that big bang? That's all you can.
How does Sam react to...
He's got used to it.
Yes.
Yeah, yes.
But you removed his bark, didn't you?
No, that's my neighbor. No, I would never do that. No, I just trained him. I did it from the outside. I did it in the mind.
Okay, how did you train your dog not to bark?
I got one of the shock collars.
Wait a minute, that's what I just said.
No, I think you thought you said that the bark removed. That was my pastor.
Well, with the shock collar.
No. It's very compassionate. It's wonderful. All you do is say, don't bark or I'll send electric shocks through you.
Yeah, that's compassionate.
No, it's very good. It really worked. It just said, knock it off, dog. We've got one. We've got the Hebrews 12, the chastening of the Lord shock collar.
Oh.
It just keeps us in line. You just have to get one shock from heaven and you think, okay, I'll stay in the straight and narrow. Anyway, I had an interesting experience yesterday. There was a knock on our door during the day, and it was a couple who said, we'd like to tell you about God being a mother.
They came to your door!
But they came to yours first?
No. But I'm familiar with this group.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They
wouldn't tell me who they are.
Of course not.
Yeah.
Sometimes they'll say they're from a Elohim University.
Uh-huh.
That's something they like to say. But often they won't tell you. They're actually Moonies.
They are Moonies?
They're Moonies.
Yeah.
Or a branch or a subdivision of that. But that's who they are.
Well, they said, can we talk to you? And I said, sure, if I can film you. And they said, what? What for? And I said, for television. And they said, oh, no. We'll come back another day when we're prepared. I said, you're already prepared. You don't knock on doors of strangers if you're not prepared. I said, tell me about this God being a mother. And I don't know if you know their doctrine, but they quote Genesis, let us.
Right.
So God is obviously plural. And then make man in our image. So God made Adam in his image. And then he made Eve, who was a woman and a mother, in his image. So God is both father and mother, or male and female.
Right. I think they try to make it out to be that the Holy Spirit is the mother in the relationship.
Oh, we didn't get to that far.
Yeah.
I said, there's a knife in my back, help me. And we went down 2 minutes, woman, and they couldn't help me.
Yeah.
They couldn't give me. So I said, well, how are you going to be saved? And they said, by keeping the commandments of God. So I said, okay, do you think you're good people? And they said, yes, we are good people. So I went through 2 commandments before they shut me down. They said, why are we doing this? I said, I want to show you something very important. I want to show you God's grace. You can only be saved through grace, not keeping the commandments of God. They shut me down, and they said, we're leaving. And I said, well, you're not going to hear my neighbors. And they started walking down, and I followed them down our driveway.
Yes.
And I had my hands like that, and I said, don't go to any of my neighbors. And as they walked down the street, they called back, we're leaving, and they got in their car and left.
Yeah! And yeah! Blow it up right there!
Oh,
boom!
Boom?
Yeah!
Is that a boom?
That's a boom!
Yeah, and I think anyone who thinks that may be unloving, just think of the analogy. If someone was going to take some soda to your neighbors and you knew it had poison in it, wouldn't you say, don't you go to any of my... I love my neighbors. I love Mohan across the road. He's an Indian guy. He loves to me. Always going to go down, Mr. Campbell, across the road. He's a neat guy, Mohan. He's from India. He used to be a colonel with the British Army. So I don't want them going and taking their poison. And Paul said, if anyone comes to you with another... And I told them, this is another gospel. This is another spirit. And that's when they backed out. Because they weren't open to hearing about the grace of God. Right. They want to stay in their self-righteousness. So Paul says, if anyone comes to you preaching another gospel, let him be cursed. And he says, say it again. And this is the apostle of love who wrote under God's inspiration, 1 Corinthians 13. So we are to be adamant when it comes to sex and cults sharing another gospel.
Yeah. More people are actually taking up that charge to actually follow the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses after they come to their door, to follow them to the next neighbor's door.
When I yell out, I know Tony, man, I know they started running.
I don't think so, right?
Yeah.
I think there's a little bit of an embellishment to your story.
Slightly.
Speaking of stories, our first one today comes from AP, written by John Heilprin, I think. Heilprin. Have you heard about this? The God particle. Have you been following that? I know you study this stuff quite a bit.
Yeah, it's just stupid.
Okay.
It's just such...
On theboxoflivingwaters.com, if you disagree, we'll write in big letters for you. It's stupid.
You know why I think it's stupid? I don't care what they do with their time, but I care what they do with money. How much does this cost?
I had it right in here a second ago. It was in the billions. $10 billion Large Hadron Collider sends protons whizzing around a circular 17-mile underground tunnel at nearly the speed of light to create high-energy collisions. Boom!
What are they trying to find out?
They're trying to find what they are referring to as the God particle, which they believe is one step closer to explaining how the universe began. I was watching a video, I think it was on CNN, watching a video of some scientist, you know, almost giddy with joy about this find. And then he went on to say that this God particle comes as a result of a perfectly shaped crystal exploding, which was the Big Bang.
Oh.
And it was a perfectly shaped crystal.
Yeah, I think they should just give the money to widows and orphans. You know, just do some good. I was thinking the other day how we've mismanaged creation in such a terrible way. Think of all the trillions of dollars that have been spent on wars, fighting over land, when it could have been to help widows and orphans and promote the gospel.
Now, they do say that the scientific work that they're doing is helping to advance the study of cures for cancer and some other things. So there is some positive things coming out of this study. But ultimately, what they're trying to do is they're trying to justify their unbelief.
You sure that's not window dressing?
Well, it could. Well, I don't know.
You say
I'm not
that.
A scientist.
We're trying to find out what God used to make everything, and we're going to help people with cancer. Oh, okay, you can spend your billions.
Well, here's the heart of the matter here.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks nature, not thank God, but thanks nature, joked Fabiola Giannotti, the Italian physicist who heads the team called Atlas, with 3,000 scientists drawing laughter from the crowd. So they're thanking nature for this discovery instead of the God who created everything.
Why do they call it the God particle?
It didn't say in the article. The phrase was coined by a scientist, and it stuck, but they don't really say why they call it God. I'm speculating that it's because it's these kind of scientific discoveries that will justify their lack of belief in God. That there is no God, there is the God particle, there is this, that, and the other thing.
It's just
to replace God.
It's so weird because when they discovered the first man in Africa, they called him Adam. And now they call this beginning of all things that started the Big Bang God. It's like the devil likes to get out as close as he can to blind humanity and goes like that. And let them say phrases like as sure as hell, till hell freezes over, blah, blah, blah. He lets truth get close to them, but they're blind and don't see it. It makes them laugh. I don't know. Just weird.
Now, as goofy...
You want to read that?
No. Not anymore. But as goofy as that story is, this one angered.
It get worse?
This one angered Easy. Easy used so many adjectives in his email in response to this,
sanctified,
this article.
That was sanctified adjectives.
Well, yeah, yeah, nothing nasty, but he waxed eloquent in anger over this article. Lifeguard in Florida fired after saving a drowning man. And this is an AFP story, author unknown. A young lifeguard in Florida has lost his job after rescuing a drowning man in a section of beach he was not assigned to patrol, local news media reported on Wednesday. Tomas Lopez, 21, was manning his post on Hallandale Beach, north of Miami, on Monday afternoon when a beachgoer alerted him to a swimmer struggling in a, quote-unquote, unprotected part of the beach. Quote, it was a long run, but someone needed to help him. I wasn't going to say no, said Lopez, quoted by the South Florida Sun Sentinel newspaper and WFOR television on their websites. The unidentified man was rescued, then rushed to the hospital where he remains in intensive care. But when Lopez went to file an incident report, he was fired for going 500 yards out of his assigned area. Quote, they didn't tell me in a bad way. It was more like they were sorry, but rules are rules, Lopez said. I couldn't believe what was happening. Quote, we have liability issues and can't go out of the protected area, end quote, explained a supervisor for the private contractor that supplies lifeguards for Hallandale Beach, a popular destination for Canadian winter holiday makers. Quote, what he did was his own decision. He knew the company rules and did what he thought he needed to do, end quote. No longer in a job that pays $8.25 an hour.
Ooh.
Lifeguard! $8.25 an hour. Lopez said he would do what he did again if he had to. Quote, it was the moral thing to do, he said. I would never pick a job over my morals.
Almost sounds like he's a Christian, doesn't it? No, non-Christians don't throw the word morals around
not too often. But so what do you think, Ray?
Well, let me know what you think, and I'll let you know what I think.
Okay.
Lay it out.
I think this is a tragic analogy of what people do with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, came so that men might be saved, died a horrible death he did not deserve on the cross, taking upon himself the punishment we rightly deserve for our sin. But folks like the God particle folks and atheists and other people all over the world trample under their feet the blood of Christ and regard his sacrifice as unworthy. And that's immediately what I thought of when this lifesaver saved this man's life, and what he got in return for that sacrificial act, that heroic act. I mean, he could have lost his life saving this man in the water. He gets fired. Ticks me off.
You ticked off.
And for $8.25 an hour? No lifeguard should be paid $8.25 an hour.
Yeah.
They should be paid a lot more than that for what they do.
I read another item. I did a little search on it. That four other lifeguards have quit in solidarity with them.
Really?
Yeah, which is great. Yeah. You know what the procedure is? If you see someone drowning out of your zone, you're to call 911. That's really great.
That's the procedure?
That's what the procedure
really?
Is. I'm not
Are
kidding.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. And I've heard some... Not...
Hey, I'm a lifeguard. There's someone drowning 500 yards away. I can see him. I can see him drowning, but I'm not allowed to go over there. So can you please take 35 minutes to get here before the man dies?
That's better.
That's not I haven't yelled in so long, Ray.
I've heard some of the 911 calls, and it's like, hello, well, I have an emergency. What's your name? And they take ages to get all the details down. When someone's drowning, you've got about 30 seconds. This guy ran and died in 21-year-old. But you know what it reminded me of?
What?
Luke 13:3.
Okay.
This is the spirit of the Pharisees. The Pharisees believed in the letter of the law and not the spirit of the law. Jesus healed a woman who had been bowed over for 18 years and on the Sabbath in the synagogue. And one of the leaders of the synagogue said, what are you healing for? You've got 6 days to be healed. Come on the 6 days, but not on the Sabbath. And Jesus looked at him and said, you hypocrite. Don't you love that?
Yeah, I love it.
I love it. You hypocrite. He says, if your ox is thirsty on a Sabbath, don't you take him out and give him a drink? So there's the spirit of the law and the letter of the law. And the letter of the law says, just stay in your area. But the spirit of the law says, forget this, because someone's drowning, there's a life at stake. And it's just craziness.
Yeah, absolutely.
The world's getting worse.
Nuts. All right, first question of the day. This comes from Josh. I know that during a witnessing encounter, it is best to avoid getting into an intellectual debate regarding science, etc. Having said that, how much time would you contribute to discussing biblical doctrine? For example, to what extent would you discuss the role of the Jews in God's redemptive plan during a witnessing encounter if the question arose?
Well, I'd give it a good 5 seconds.
About that.
Yeah, about that. And I'd just say, hey, there's more important issues at stake, and then we'll come back to that a little later if you so desire. But I'd, you know, you're heading for Christ crucified. You may go down rabbit trail, get back up. You may be led over here. Get back on the main path and make sure you preach Christ crucified, sin, righteousness, and judgment. And the devil wants to get you off another direction because he doesn't want people to be saved. He came to kill, steal, and destroy. So don't give him license by going down rabbit trails. And there are a lot of rabbit trails.
What was really annoying in law enforcement, among many things, right, was when we would invite a civilian into our car to do a ride-along. And they would spend that shift questioning what we're doing and how we're doing it. Very, very annoying. To the point of wanting to just drop the person off along the side of the road and have them hitchhike their way back to the station. But that's what unbelievers do with doctrine. You know, someone sits beside me in a patrol car, having never been in a patrol car before. I've been in one for 20 years. And they're sitting beside me, and they're making snap judgments about what I'm doing and making suggestions on how they think I could do things better and a right application of the law, a wrong application of the law. And I'm being very professional, very quiet, wanting to, you know, snap them in two. No.
Could you ever say, have you ever smelled what mace tastes like? No.
How do you feel about cayenne pepper? Do you use it a lot? Do you use a lot on your food? No. But,
of course not.
But it takes so much arrogance and ignorance to do that, to get into a patrol car and then to try to assert that you know how to do the job better than the man or the woman who's been sitting there in that patrol car for years and years, answering calls and going places you would never dream to go. It's the same thing with an unbeliever when they want to try to argue with a believer about doctrine. They don't know the Bible. They don't know the Word of God. And I know you've said this many times in your open-air preaching. You know, someone makes a comment about the Bible, and you say, look, I've been reading this every day of my life for 30 or 40 years. You know, and I don't waste any time arguing doctrine with unbelievers because I'm arguing with a person who's spiritually dead and spiritually blind. They cannot understand that which is spiritual because these things are spiritually appraised.
Right.
I don't bother. I don't spend any time arguing doctrine with unbelievers.
So you wouldn't give them 5 seconds?
I think 5 seconds is enough time to nod your head once and say, I'm not going there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's great. We have an agenda.
We have.
Go into all the world and preach the doctrines of all different things to every creature. No, it's the gospel.
Get to the main point. All right, I'm leaving this one anonymous. This is pretty heartbreaking, Ray.
That is.
Hi, Tony, Ray, Mark, and the rest of the Living Waters team. First, thank you for this ministry. Living Waters has completely changed my life. This isn't heartbreaking. This is a good thing.
Oh, good.
About a year ago, Ray's teaching on Hell's Best Kept Secret and True and False Conversion convicted me and made me realize that I was a false convert, but no more. I repented and put my trust in Christ Jesus and was sealed by the Holy Spirit. Praise God. We love it when we hear things like that. About a year and a half ago, my wife came forward during an invitation at church wishing to be saved and was later baptized. I think it was just an emotional response and suspected she was a false convert, and I have yet to see any fruit. I have shared with her my suspicions that she is a false convert, witnessed to her using the law, but to no avail yet. I continue to pray for her every single day. Lately, I've been feeling a push from the Holy Spirit to open air preach, but have yet to do so. I know my wife will not like that idea, and she complains that I am too involved with the church. Please understand that I do not neglect my family for the sake of church activities. My kids also are also very involved in church. With church, and not to mention very good at handing out gospel tracts. I do find time to spend with my wife, coach my son's little league team, help around the house, etc. Okay, so it sounds like this guy's got his priorities in straight.
Right.
Okay, but what would you do if your wife asked you to cut back on going to church or if she asked you to stop open-air preaching? Tony, I've heard you say many times that your wife is your first ministry, and I agree, but what if you are unequally yoked and she wanted you to stop or cut back on ministry? What kind of encouragement can you bring to this?
Oh, I'd say, sweetheart, I'm thinking of playing golf, and it's going to cost me $1,500 for golf clubs, and the fee will be $2,000, so I might go golfing on Saturday. Well, then you're going to go for a preach for nothing. Could do that.
Could do that. What else might you say?
I don't know. Let's cross over to Mark.
Mark! Danny wasn't planning on that.
Oh, Mark!
Mark's on vacation. Oh, no. Mark's on vacation. Mark's up in a lovely area.
Did you hear a shout from Trumpet? We didn't. There wasn't a trumpet and
no,
shout?
No, it's not.
He's on assignment.
Yeah,
you come back with stories.
You will. Hopefully good ones. Hopefully no one gets injured. Do the Spencers usually get injured on trips?
He's got boys.
Okay.
Yeah.
So hopefully nothing broken.
No.
Battered or bruised. But for the man who sent us this email, you have to obey God rather than your wife. Yes, you need to love your wife as Christ loves the church, but your love for your wife should pale in comparison to your love for Christ.
That's what I was going to say.
I know it.
Yeah,
I
should be
it.
Like hate.
Well, you're giving me the chance to answer. I don't know.
Because you're brilliant.
Settle down, sir. But, if you feel led by God to go out there and preach the gospel in the open air, and you can do so in such a way as to maintain the right perspective and obligations with your family, then you should go out and do that. You should not obey your wife in such a way as to cause you to disobey God.
That's right. She's the gift. And God's the giver, so you put your affections on the giver rather than the gift. And we could pray about that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I shared, my brain was in a mess the other day because I did that time with filming on Monday.
Yeah, we can't.
But it was a good time.
It was a good time. They were nice people.
And we'll see what happens.
They were nice people and lunch was good.
Yeah. But I don't know if I shared this on Tuesday. I don't know if you guys was on the bus.
I don't know.
Yeah, Brad was on.
Yes.
Did I share how I met an elderly man in Target and gave him a gospel tract?
No, I don't think
so. Oh, good. So, anyway,
please.
On Sunday, I was with Sue, my wife, and we're at Target. And we're coming through the doors, and I saw this elderly gentleman, very elderly gentleman, probably in his 90s, getting into a motorized, one of those motorized shopping carts,
oh, yeah.
You know, the little broom motorbike thing. And he looked like he's having a bit of a problem, so I just went up to him. I said, Sir, can I help you at all and get it? And he says, yes, please. And so I took him by his arm just like that and helped him in. And he looked up at me and he said, it's horrible getting old. And he is in his 90s and he is clean cut, nice, you know, just nice guy. Anyway, I said, are you a Christian, sir? And he said, I hope so.
Ooh.
So I went, got out a gospel tract,
yeah,
and with a tiny print on the back, on the trillion levels, I said, sir, this is very small print, but it'll tell you how you get everlasting life. He says, I've got a magnifying glass right here. And
wow.
It was only, and then I gave him a thank you for listening to me with all the things, Christian Growth on the back, and gave it to him. He said, thank you so much. And then he is off in his little cart to meet his wife. It was a 30-second encounter. And it just made me so grateful that I carry gospel tracts with me all the time. Because, God willing, that could be a change in someone's eternal destiny, just that little seed planted. So always carry gospel tracts and always be ready.
I had an amazing encounter this morning.
Is it better?
Is it what?
Better than mine.
No, I don't like to say better words. If you're sharing the gospel, it's a great encounter.
There's a Michael Regan little skit that he does where he goes to a party and everyone's got a story that outdoes the person.
Oh, yeah.
And then a guy steps in, who's an astronaut, and says, I walked on the moon. And no one can top that story. But let's go.
I can't share it.
You can't?
No, not yet.
Oh!
I'm hoping to put it on the blog later today.
Really? Isn't that good?
Yeah.
So this is a teaser.
It's a teaser.
Yeah.
Might talk about it tomorrow.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Okay.
I used to work with deputies like that. I mean, if you say that you were in the Marines for 4 years, they were in the Marines for 8. If you said you were on a nuclear submarine in the Navy, they were a Navy SEAL. If you said you flew on a plane, they jumped out of a plane. You know, none of it was true. I mean, you look at the guy.
Oh, you're kidding.
You got, well, yeah, you look at the guy. You have to be like 130 years old for you to accomplish everything you claim to have accomplished in your life. But anyway.
Human nature.
All right, how about this one? Some people say you can pray to the Holy Spirit. Should we focus on different prayers to God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit?
Let's cross over to Mark Spence for this one.
Really?
No, I'm kidding.
Okay.
The Holy Spirit speaks of Jesus, and Jesus glorifies the Father. So pray to God in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit will help you.
Well, we believe in one God in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Mm. When you're praying to God the Father, you're praying to God. When you pray to God the Son, you're praying to God. When you pray to God the Holy Spirit, you're praying to God. Mm. You're praying to one God, the one true God. All right, maybe you'll like this one. This is from Chris. Should head pastors go out and evangelize outside the church, even if they have a full plate of counseling, discipling, and preaching to the flock?
I think they need to tip their plate out. Start again. And if you preach and witness open air and build your church biblically, you won't be counseling people because they'll all be grown up and reading the Word and mature as Christians, reaching and reproducing it themselves. I did 3.5 years as a pastor, and I absolutely hated it because I was counseling people all the time, and I don't like counseling people. It's not where I'm at.
Did you find that a lot of that was begging goats to act like sheep?
That's exactly what it was. People that come to me, sit in my office and say, could you give us marriage counsel? And after 30 minutes or 20 minutes, I found that this couple weren't even married, but they hadn't told me that little point. And I thought, I'm kind of tired of this. I'd get in my car and drive into the local square and preach the gospel. It was just like a breath of fresh air to talk to unsaved people. Well, people that weren't just hearers of the word and not doers.
I know of several pastors, I'm sure you do too as well, Ray, who do go out on the streets to preach the gospel. I think of Josh Williamson in Australia and a good friend of mine, Jeff Kirkland in St. Louis, John Speed. Good friend of the ministry up in Syracuse, New York. They are out there preaching the gospel on the streets. They're building the church, you know, from the ground up.
Emilio. Yeah. It's wonderful. That's how
Emilio
it should be.
Emilio Ramos, yeah.
Yeah. So
I almost said Emilio Estevez, but I wasn't going
to. You didn't?
Yeah. That's I was reaching for his last name. But at the same time, though, remember that there are different offices in the church, that of pastor, elder, you know, prophet, evangelist, and, you know, be loving and caring and understanding with your pastor.
Absolutely.
Who is charged with shepherding the flock of God.
Amen.
And we're about out of time.
And take care of your pastor. Love him. And take him out witnessing with you. That's it for today. God bless you. See you tomorrow.
For questions about On the Box with Ray Comfort, or to submit questions for future shows, please email onthebox@livingwaters.com. That's onthebox@livingwaters.com. On the Box with Ray Comfort is an outreach of Living Waters. For more resources to inspire and equip you to fulfill the Great Commission, check out livingwaters.com or call toll-free 1-800-437-1893. Now go and preach the gospel.